There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting 2 young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see. My, wow. Oh, my. Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong. Las Culturistas calling.
What's the temperature?
Well, the temperature is in Celsius over here in the UK, and so I haven't figured out the conversion. I'm a terrible science student. Chic. Very chic. Someone goes, it feels like 25. And I'm like, yeah. Totally.
I was just going to say it feels like 25 out here. Now, the weather thing, that's one thing. The sort of pounds to dollars, where are we at?
I can figure out pounds to dollars. Well, this is the thing about the UK is the UK is like totally billless. It's all electronic.
Oh.
People don't really throw cash around anymore, which is good and bad, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me just slut in one thing. Did you figure out your meat pie situation over there?
I've gotten so many requests, and I will be trying all of them. I will be trying all 500.
So Bowen's big thing was being in the UK, he can't find his meat pies. And what I'm hearing is that the readers have sort of come to your aid. Sort of when they sent me all those recommendations from when I was looking for pumpkin beers in LA.
Well, they didn't send you recommendations. They literally sent you pumpkin beers. No one's sending me meat pies in the mail, which I am kind of disappointed in.
Well, they wouldn't travel well, Bo, I don't think.
That's neither here nor there.
I think it might be.
I think a meat and a carb is a standard thing in every cuisine. If they can make it work for tacos, they can make it work for meat pies. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Speaking of 25, segueing into Adele, who was nominated for her album 30.
Mm-hmm.
So interesting that it feels like a loss for our queen, Beyonce, even though she did break a record. It's so strange.
It's like she's the most winning artist in Grammy history, but they will never give her the big cake.
But they fuck up the cake almost every year. And that's the asterisk.
They fuck up the cake every single year. And this is my thing with the Grammys. It's like, when are we going to pretending this is good cake? Like, when are we just going to go to another cake store?
Bakery.
Another bakery, which is another word for cake store. And that's actually real culture number 39.
Bakery is another word for cake store.
Just like I like to call a pizzeria a pizza store.
Pizza store.
And you're always sort of correcting me on that.
Always. Always.
It's very our dynamic, you know, like.
It's our Nichols and May routine.
It's our Nichols and May routine. Can I just be very transparent with the readers? This is kind of killing me.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes. And this is important. And I think it's really good that our guest is here this week because I think she can really.
So mother for this.
Talk us through this. But yes, Matt, go ahead.
I have been on this podcast discussing, this is hard. I have been sort of talking about this new man in my life, my new boyfriend, Lenny. And so I feel like I wouldn't have come onto this podcast and talked about a person in my life so much if it wasn't a real thing and I didn't feel really confident.
Of course.
And that has made it very difficult because like within the span of a week since I last recorded on this podcast, that's no longer a thing. So I'm kind of going through it.
Yeah.
And I know he has friends that listen to this podcast, so I'm going to afford some privacy and everything, but just suffice it to say, it has not been a good week. And the cycle of grief that is going on, I think today I'm in an angry zone.
Yeah.
But it's been a lot. And Bowen's, of course, been a good friend and everyone's been a good friend. But yeah, I don't know. I just felt I owed the reader some transparency about that. It's not been good.
I'm so happy you're sharing this. I respect and admire the fact that you're sharing this, because on the surface, it might seem somewhat embarrassing.
Yeah.
And it really isn't, because you have...
People
go through it. You really did nothing wrong.
No.
In the course of the relationship. And we will spare this person any deep discussion and dissection, but it was a full love bomb, and it's pretty shitty behavior.
Maybe that's the thing about relationships, right? When they end, is like, you want the closure and you want to like understand why, and you want to really absolve yourself, or like, if you did do something wrong, understand it. With this, I have so many questions, and I guess that's what's difficult.
Yeah,
but you had a better week, I'd say, because you sort of got to like hug Pedro Pascal.
Yeah. We don't have to talk about it.
You fell in love?
No, no, no. I mean, there's no pathway for me, but...
You don't know.
Suffice it to say, I was deeply, deeply charmed, as was everyone. And that's the thing. Sometimes these hosts come through and everyone is like, I think...
He wants to fuck me.
I think Pedro's into me.
Yeah.
This is what happened when Harry Styles came. Like, this happens like every time there's like a heartthrob.
Oh, yeah.
For Harry, I was like, no. He's not putting the moves on me. I'm not convinced. Like, I recognize what he's doing and I'm putting shields up, you know, because people like him, it doesn't happen to people like him. JK, sorry. I'm just quoting his Grammy speech.
That was so funny. For him to say that him winning a Grammy, things like this don't happen to people like me, was just, it was so funny.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
You had to laugh.
You had to laugh. Anyway, but with Pedro, it was just like, oh, damn.
He's a fucking man and a half. What did you say? He looks like Clark Gable.
He's Burt Reynolds, Clark Gable, Cary Grant, all in one. And you are powerless against it. You are just,
I mean,
powerless against it. And he's so sweet. And his laugh, I mean, if you watched Lisa from Temecula or Ego Wodum legendarily cuts
so
a steak. He laughs and he breaks, and there's a moment where he laughs in this like biblical register. He's laughing like God laughs at his own creation.
Oh, you really are wrapped up.
I'm writing poetry about this man in my head. It's crazy.
So you're in a place of, you're writing like happy poetry about your being in newly in love with Pedro Pascal, and I'm sort of writing like angry Alanis Morissette adjacent, like, how fucking dare you? Why did this happen to me? Like, I'll get you one day. Missives.
Oh.
It's like on the back of checks, I'll write something really pissed off.
Is that true?
I can just put it there. And then I had a friend over yesterday and they sat next to the thing and I saw there was like a check, the back of a check, and I had written something really dark on it. And I was like, oh my God, if they turn their head a little bit to the left, they're just going to see sprawled out on the back of a check like this angry thought. Like, I have to clean up.
Oh my God, Matt. No, this is, you know what? This will be easily romanticized in like a month.
Oh, I no, promise it's, you. It's going to become something. Right now, it's just only pain.
But the fact of the matter. My sweetheart.
The fact of the matter is this. There's great medicine in the Zoom chat right now.
It's true.
Because, first of all, let's just travel back in time to when our guest was on the first episode of Las Culturistas they did, when we traveled up to Nyack, New York. And we were freaking out because we had never got a guest like this on the show, let alone someone that was like such a formative part of both of our lives.
Yeah.
And then we recorded the episode. I think we were both blacked out because we were so like nervous and excited.
You were pacing in the hotel lobby like I've never seen you pace before.
Well, the guest knows.
The
guest knows how much she means to me.
Yes.
And so like I was pacing in the lobby, rearranging the furniture because I was so amped. Then we record the episode, a lovely time. Then comes the opportunity for us all to work together on Fire Island. What a time.
A highlight. Beyond the fact that we were working on this project, that we were lucky enough to be making a movie, the fact that she was sort of nurturing all of us in her way was really special. I'll always cherish it. Always, always, always.
And I know Lucia is not far away.
Oh my God.
With no further ado, I mean, one of the greatest of all time, just our friend, everyone, please welcome to your ears,
Margaret Cho!
Yay! Oh, I love you. I love you both so much. I miss you and I love you. And I'm sorry, but the thing is that with breakups, it's really hard because I always wonder, like, am I mourning the relationship or what I thought the relationship was?
It's the latter for me, for sure, because it happened so fast and it was so intense and I've never experienced anything like this. And I was fearful the whole time that it would go as quickly as it came. Like it was something that I was like, it was in the back of my mind because that's logical, but I was reassured that wouldn't be the case. And then now all of a sudden it is. So it's just like that thing of, oh, I just kind of got in a way by myself.
But not even because this person, Margaret, was, without revealing too much, was sort of assuring safety and protection and like security. And that's what's the painful thing.
That's the worst. I think also if you're an entertainer, so much of ourself is kind of spent in our work. And then the romantic life kind of suffers only because we're traveling all the time. We're working all the time at night in particular. So we have less time to kind of commit to relationships in general. So when you find something that you believe is ideal, it's hard not to fall into the pattern mentally of thinking this is going to be great. And then I project so much onto people of what I think I want. And then when it's over, it's like, did I really, was it the relationship or is it my projection of the relationship that I'm mourning?
That's what's really difficult is just remembering yourself even a short time ago with a completely different reality than you have now. And now I guess what I'm sort of working through is it's like, what were the signs if there were any? You know what I mean? It's just, and it's odd because I met this person in November and now it's February, and I feel like it was like this big seismic thing that just came in. It's like when someone comes into your life, becomes your favorite thing about life, and then just bails. And so then you're like, okay, wait, let me actually do the process of like grieving it, but also now the process of examining it. And especially as someone who creates and like is someone that works things out through comedy.
You recognize patterns.
It's just like you want to make sense of it immediately, but it is a process. And that's also frustrating because I want to react to it. You know what I mean? I want it to make sense, but so little of it makes sense because of exactly what you said. It's like, I don't know what was real at this point.
Right. It's so hard. And it's so hard when it's like your life is so interrupted by something so huge. And then suddenly gone, you know, like I still have pickles from November. So, I mean, it's still,
I don't eat those pickles, Margaret.
They're still fermenting. But I mean, it's like, you know, those things of, like it's a very short time to feel so many big things. And then I always look to when it's that big, it must be something I did that I created because it can't, other people can't possibly affect me that much. In my experience, that's what I realized. Like, oh, I can't actually have been moved by another person. It's mostly my own projections ramming into somebody else's instigation. So for me, it's always like, I think I kind of created them in my mind more than it was actually. But it's so hard. Dick is very difficult.
Oh, the dick was really good too.
Yeah, dick is hard to get over. Sometimes we just love that dick and it's just really hard to kind of separate our physical sensations around that with what's real.
Oh my God. It is dick, isn't it?
Well, it's dick is like kind of a metaphor for just the idea of romance and wholeness.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
That really rings true because I think one thing that I really realized about myself throughout this whole process, is that I really do want that in my life. And I think I had gone for such a long time and like, I don't know how you feel about this, but like I was that kind of person that was like, I don't need that. That doesn't complete me. I'm not looking for that. I want to be able to have fun. I want to be able to experience time with my friends, like experience whatever's going on in my career. And then all of a sudden, like this thing happens where you're like, oh, wait, like this actually is a part of my life that in the back of my mind, I was looking to fill that role. And then someone comes in and fills that and it leaves. And I think kind of what I'm grieving right now is that role being fulfilled. You know what I mean? The future planning I was doing because I was made to feel safe to do that. Now that it's gone, I think one lesson I'll take from it is at least now you know that is something that you want because you can protect yourself better next time. And also you can make space for that next time. Of course, it's going to be hard to just open myself up again. I don't think I want to look at another gay man for a very long time besides Bowen Yang.
I was going to say, you're doing that right now.
You know what I mean? My sister and a half. I have to look at him at least once a week on Zoom. But like, I really have been very afraid. I don't want to socialize with any gays. Like, I don't want any part of it. Like, I'm not that kind of person that can get back up and like start fucking. Are you guys like that?
No.
I can be.
Yeah.
Just because I think, oh, you know, the idea of getting over someone is but getting under somebody else. But that's also not necessarily productive either. That just lends itself to genital warts. But that's okay. I mean, which doesn't matter either. That's neither here nor there. That's fine.
Or treatable.
I think genital warts are the thing that is lended, personally.
Yeah.
You don't lend yourself to it. It lends itself to you.
It lends itself. Like, it's a giver. She's a giver. She gives.
Yeah.
She shares. But I think, sex doesn't really do... Mm-hmm. Like, I kept thinking sex was going to help me get over heartbreak, but it actually just sort of doesn't. It just kind of makes it more complicated.
Yeah. It's also overrated. You know, something my friend said to me was like, oh, it's not as easy to go out there and just like get laid. Like, it more goes on in my head. Like, my friend was like sort of telling me like, you can go out there and just like get laid and like that's the way you get over things. I'm like, it really hasn't worked though, because when you have a large amount of sexual experiences, like that means you're also having a larger amount of like weirder sexual experiences, or like sexual experiences that get you self-conscious, because like, you know, sex is weird
or just aren't fulfilling, period.
Or it's just not fulfilling. So having it does not mean you're winning. You know what I mean? Or it doesn't mean you're advancing. It just means like, oh yeah, you're putting yourself out there and letting people have your time and energy in this way. And sometimes it pays off, but other times it's kind of just like either boring or weird or warts. Boring, weird, or warts.
But with this, what I'm angry about now is that you say you didn't think you needed this, you weren't looking for this, and then now that it's taken away from you, it's so damaging and devastating, but it's like this person like created that necessity for you. It's this manufactured thing that he's also taken away. It's like you not knowing that, like, fucking, I'm gonna just quickly, it's so innocent, I promise. I'm gonna quickly, just because this is what's coming to mind, I'm quickly quoting a Louis C.K. joke. I'm so sorry. But it's that thing where like this guy like complains about, you know, in flight Wi-Fi being unavailable, and this guy being like, oh, god damn it. It's like this thing you didn't know existed 10 minutes ago. You're sad and angry about not being available. It's not that. It's obviously not that. But it is that thing where it's like this person made you think that you needed it when you didn't. And now you feel like you're going to think that you do need it. And I hope.
Oh, yeah.
I know it's not true.
I was perfectly fine before all this. You know what I mean? Living my life, was happy. And then now it's just like, oh, okay, that was nice. But now the fuck what?
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's why I need a Lucia.
You need a little baby. She's sleeping. She heard her name. She's like,
she did.
She heard her name.
Oh my God. Do you think she misses Fire Island?
Yes, she does. She was such a star on that whole. Remember, as Adam, she fell in love with Adam.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Adam was a wonderful PA.
She was so in love with him, and she just really enjoyed her time with him.
Oh my gosh, Lucia, it's so good to see you again. You can't see this, but Lucia is absolutely filling the frame. She really holds the frame.
She does.
She's a star. She's a gorgeous chihuahua.
Star quality.
She was the mascot of the movie. Oh my God, we all were so happy.
She misses you guys.
Did you watch The White Lotus season 2, where there was a character of Lucia who was very sexually powerful?
Yes, I wish she could get a Skims deal too. She should really get a Skims deal.
Yeah, I'll call Kim. Yes.
Jennifer Coolidge,
she was on the board for a second. It would be everyone's dream come true if that happened.
her is I want to start doing a series of hagsploitation movies with her, kind of like you know, Baby Jane style.
Yes.
But like hagsploitation, like I think hagsploitation is going to make a comeback. I want to do about like kind of etiquette columnists from competing newspapers yes. battling it out, and one murders the other. It's called Bad Manners. So me and Jennifer
Margaret.
Is that a good idea?
That's powerful. It's let me tell you something. It's getting bought in this room.
Let's pitch it.
In a world where Bowen and I make decisions.
We're buying on pitch.
Yes.
That is genuinely, I mean, you already know this. I don't mean to sound patronizing. That is a brilliant idea.
I think it's really good. I love hagsploitation from the 60s and 70s. And I feel like it needs to make a strong comeback, especially like with the success of all of her stuff. And then also these older women kind of getting these accolades like Michelle Yeoh.
Yes.
This is like a time for us.
Everything Everywhere is hagsploitation.
Yeah. Everything Everywhere is hagsploitation. Hags are here.
Hags are here.
Hags are here to stay.
So like what is like the ultimate hagsploitation movie? Is it like Mommy Dearest?
Yeah. For sure. I think the ultimate is Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, but there's also, you know, it's like Straight Jacket. I think even Johnny Guitar would, any of like the latter Joan Crawford movies, All About Eve is probably, that's probably hexploitation.
Really? Okay. So it can be prestige. It can be like literally like one of the best films ever made.
Yeah. Or like Arsenic and Old Lace or...
Cary Grant's the fag in that.
Hot. I mean, it's a rich, very diverse cinematic landscape that we haven't had a hacksploitation for quite a long time, so we need to start it up again.
Yeah.
The closest we get now is like 80 for Brady.
Which is great too.
Have you seen it?
No, but I think it's like that's a movie that I would go see. I don't know if I would see it in the theater. I haven't made up my mind. I want to see Megan in the theater.
Oh, Megan's a blast.
You'll have a lot of fun.
You got to go see that in the theater. I'm thinking of going to see 80 for Brady in theaters. Like, I think that looks
too.
Sudi saw it the other day and said it was fun.
Matt, did you and I go see Book Club together?
No, we didn't go see Book Club together, but it's getting a sequel and we can definitely do that.
I know. We'll do that. I saw it with Sudi then, I think. And we loved it.
Yeah. Book Club is, I mean... Yeah. Like when I saw the trailer for 80 for Brady, I was with my parents because I think we were going to see The Glass Onion. And all four of us, my parents, me and my aunt, all turned to each other and were just like, said different variations of the word delightful. We were like, come on. Like, who doesn't want to see those four absolutely going for it?
So yeah. Great.
You know what else I wanted to talk about? They look like they're having fun on doing press. Like Rita Moreno is definitely like the ham. She's definitely the one that gets up and runs the show. And Sally Field's kind of like, this one. Like, but you get a sense the vibes are generally good. Have you guys seen any clips from the press tour with Reese Witherspoon and Ashton Kutcher right now? They're in this movie called Your Place or Mine, which is like, I guess they play people that fucked years ago and they stayed friends. And so they decide like to switch apartments. One goes to LA and one goes to New York and they have these experiences. And during it, realize they still love each other. The press tour, I've never seen two people fake it less. They hate each other.
Wow. Really?
Oh my God.
Look it up. It is wild. Like, it's just, can we get a body language expert on this? Reese Witherspoon standing in front, arms folded like this, shoulders up while Ashton is like on the side. Like, there's like a fucking arm's length between them. I watched one because I was fascinated. So I continued to watch interviews. And I think it was an interview with like Rachel Lindsay for Extra. And she was like, now, did y'all know each other before this? Had y'all worked together before? And Reese was like, no.
Wait, well, let me look this up. Reese must have produced it. Yeah,
I mean, but just look at a picture of them standing next to each other.
Sure.
And it is so clear. It's like trending on Twitter because
it's so obvious.
It's just so funny how much she like either doesn't respect him or doesn't want to be there or hates the movie or something.
Okay, so Hello Sunshine, her production company, produced. You would think she'd have some approval over her love interest, her co-star.
I mean, I don't know.
That's something must have happened during production then, or
maybe
after.
It's such an anachronism, that movie. Like, it looks like it came out in like 2010. Like, it's a very weird, like, Matthew McConaughey, Kate Hudson style, like, romantic comedy from the early 2000s. It's a weird throwback that it's very curious.
And it feels also like drag and drop stars, too. It's like Ticket to Paradise, right? It's like, of course, like we hit the ultimate jackpot and it's like George Clooney and Julia Roberts. Yay. Like, and now we have this script. Reese is going to produce it. Who do we get that's like famous enough that this is going to make sense? Blah, blah, blah. Let's make it work for 2023. And they pick Ashton Kutcher and then they put them out there together and it's like, oh, they hate each other. Like, that's like, I'm not watching this.
That's too bad because Aline Brosh McKenna wrote and directed and we love her for Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Love.
And Devil Wears Prada, of course.
But, oh, yeah.
But this is, God, I can't get over the Reese and Ashton sort of dynamic of it all then, if that's...
I'm not talking about the movie at all. We haven't seen the movie. It might be great. Just them doing the press tour, it is very evident.
Interesting. Wow. Well...
But how much do you fake it anyway? Like, at a certain point, are you just get tired of faking it? Like, I'm thinking, like, we didn't see you, Margaret, a lot for the press tour of Fire Island because we did it kind of separately. But, like, that was, like, a genuine joy the whole time. But, like, what if there was one person that was just like, ugh.
I know.
I mean, we had so much fun making the movie and I just wanted everybody to see it. So you want everybody to sort of like feel the feeling of joy that we had making it and also getting back together to do the press junket. So it seems weird. Maybe you can be such a big star that all that stuff, you're mad that you have to do it. You know, that you're mad that you took, you already made the movie and now you have to go on and do the extra work of the publicizing it. But who knows?
Yeah, I guess it is a lot of work. I mean, you know. And maybe they just fucking hate each other.
I want to meet Pedro Pascal, too.
Oh, you guys would get along great.
You know, Jonathan Van Ness, he used to be my hairdresser, but now he's too famous.
Really? Uh-huh.
But he, yeah, for years, I love him. And then so we were excited when Pedro Pascal first came on to Game of Thrones. And our nickname for him was Bi Pride because he was really proud to be bi. On the show, his character. And so, Bi Pride. And then Jonathan was doing the Game of Thrones hair during Comic-Con.
Oh, that's right.
And he called me going, okay, because I'm doing Bi Pride's hair. And I was like, it was so funny because it was like, now Bi Pride was his name. So every time I see him, I'm like, oh, it's Bi Pride. And I really want to call it, when I see him, I want to call him Bi Pride and tell him why he's Bi Pride, because he's Bi Pride.
He would love that.
Honestly, for Bi Pride to be the biggest star in Hollywood right now, I think is
he's
great.
He's so gorgeous.
He's really hot.
You know, people like that, there's very rare where you feel like they are making love to everybody they meet.
Yes, this is the phenomenon I'm describing. But yes, sorry, keep going.
I mean, I've never met him, but the only other people that I have met that have that is David Bowie.
Ugh.
And Chow Yun-Fat.
Oh my God, of course. Of course, yeah. Chow Yun-Fat. Wait, when? Like in person?
Yeah. We had lunch at the Pan Pacific Hotel on the very top in San Francisco in 1998. And John Woo wanted to introduce us.
Oh my God.
So we had this thing and then John left and then it was me and Chow Yun-Fat. And I was talking about all of his movies that I had seen, so many of them, you know, and he was really impressed of my knowledge of even his romantic comedies and things that nobody had seen. These are like melodramas, these Hong Kong melodramas. And being in his presence was just like, he was like making love to everybody in the room, but not in a sexual way, in pure cinematic romance way, in like a Cary Grant or Clark Gable, that feeling, Burt Reynolds, that feeling.
He is definitely totally that. Yeah.
And I mean, David Bowie.
Oh my God. That's a great little trio right there.
Yeah.
And like A Chow Yun-Fat and A Better Tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So good. So
beautiful.
So beautiful. And Crouching Tiger. Just
Crouching.
Gorgeous.
I mean, he's like the center of it. Like the stuff with him and Michelle at the end is just so heart wrenching. But like another movie I used to watch all the time, which probably isn't good, but it was on all the time. I haven't thought about it in years, is his Anna and the King with Jodie Foster.
Yes, yes.
There was like a really shocking scene where like Bai Ling gets killed. Spoiler alert for Anna and the King years ago. But that was like a very upsetting film. Uh-huh. That was, I guess, like another era of Jodie too, because you don't picture her in that movie.
Right, right.
That's like a romantic, like very feminine lead, Jodie Foster.
When it comes to travel, we all have that happy place. Whether it's the beach, ski slopes, couples getaway, or even a visit to that best friend you haven't seen in way too long, Matt.
And Priceline wants to get you there for a happy price so you never have to miss a trip. Now, we all know we love to vacation together. We have various happy places. We love to go to Orlando, Florida. We love to go to Las Vegas, Nevada. We love to go to a beach anywhere. We love to go to Europe. But when we have truly traveled the world globally,
and domestically.
My happy place is with my sister in any of those locations he just listed. And now, thanks to Priceline's VIP family feature, you can go to your happy place more often while earning deals up to 5 times faster with a group.
When one person from the squad travels, everyone gets more deals, and you can even choose your own crew. It doesn't have to be your actual family. It could be your neighbor, your roommate, your mailman, anyone. The more you travel, the more you save.
For me, I'm choosing Matt Rogers. I'm choosing producer Becca.
Yes! We're all going together, the Lost Culture family. So download the Priceline app today to save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your happy place with Priceline.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
We have to ask Margaret the question, because here's the thing. When we did our first episode with you, I think we were so excited that we literally did not ask you the thesis question, the center of our show, which is, Margaret Cho, what was the culture that made you say culture is for me?
I think it was in the movie Grease, where Olivia Newton-John turns into
Bat Sandy,
black latexy leather Sandy, and she throws down the cigarette. She goes, "Tell me about it, stud."
Yes.
To John Travolta, and then they go in the big, weird, funhouse thing, and sing, yeah. "You're the one that I want." And it's like such a. It was then, and I was with my cousins in LA, and I spent the summers with them as a kid, and we watched it. We had the videotape of Grease. We watched it every single day, and then at night we would go out and drive around LA, and they were a little bit older than me, so they had a car, and we would listen to Donna Summer's Bad Girls.
Oh my God.
So it was, 'cause
you wanted to be bad.
I wanted to be bad, and I wanted to smoke cigarettes, and I wanted to have that perm, and
to be a bad whore.
Yeah, a bad whore, which Bad Girls is such a great record, and such it's such a, the celebration of the sex worker, which is really cool. I really love that record. I love disco, and I love the disco kind of Grease 50s and 70s collide. So that to me, I think it was the culture was for me at that time. That was when it popped off.
Yeah.
Do you remember around what age you were when Grease hit?
I was probably about 10 or 12.
Already wanting to smoke cigarettes?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
Yes.
Stunt that growth, girl. Just stunt it. I wanted to smoke cigarettes. I wanted to ride around in cars. I wanted to listen to disco and watch Grease. Yeah, to me, it was a really formative time. And I got to work with Olivia Newton-John later. And she and I became friends. And she would come see my comedy shows in the improv in LA. And she would run up and she goes, "Oh, just for fun. Just for fun."
just for fun.
"Oh, I saw that you're here. Just for fun. Just for fun." And run off. And she told me to quit smoking. And she said, just do it today. And then I quit smoking. And she just really had a chokehold on all of my, everything I did. I really loved her. can't believe she's dead, but you know,
it's so shitty.
It's so shitty, but she was really iconic and I really loved her short hair. I loved her music album for like the video album for Physical, which was like the Physical video, which had a lot of gay subtext.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All of her videos had a lot of gay subtext, but that was a really great video album, and she was just awesome.
The person who made you want to start smoking through a screen also inspired you to stop smoking in person.
That's right.
Gorgeous. Incredible.
And that's the duality. That is the Sandy Bad Sandy duality right there.
Absolutely.
Margaret. I mean, it came full circle.
So incredible. She's amazing.
Wow. Oh, great answer.
Also, like a real smoke show. Like, just like really stunning. Like, I think like a lot gets lost because you're like, oh, it's just Sandy. It's just like a thing that's a part of culture and assume. But like, wow, did she like have it on screen? And her voice was amazing. Like, Hopelessly Devoted. That's a really hard song. And just like the way that her belt just like, it just soars through it. It's like she has that rasp, that like emotional rasp in her belt that I think was just really, really special. And you can tell how hard that song is when people just think they're going to be able to do it at karaoke.
No.
You know, those songs that people just, they whip out at karaoke, they're like, oh, this one. And then like, it's a real death spiral to the end of the song.
Yeah.
That's one.
It's so hard.
You're locked in.
It's so hard. Yeah, she's truly like a multifaceted entertainer with the dancing and also singing and acting and just the looks that she served for her entire life. She's just incredible. So everything, she's phenomenal.
Mm. And her and Travolta, I guess, were like an it couple.
Well, she said, we did hang out, but after Kelly, it just got weird. You know, I couldn't really, it just got weird. It got weird.
It got weird after Kelly. Yeah, sure did.
Yeah. Just got weird.
Sure did, Olivia.
I guess so.
It got weird for Kelly, period.
She just didn't feel comfortable reaching out. But I love that their collaboration. I love A Twist of Fate, the movie and song. that's a really lost movie, which I think is really good.
Wait, are you guys horny for Travolta when he was younger?
Totally.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right?
Absolutely.
He's beautiful.
I think that's another thing is because, and the reason I say that about Olivia, like you don't realize how stunning she was, is maybe because I started watching Grease when I was truly a little child and like just thought of them as like the prom king and queen up there on the screen, and my sexual like conception of them sexually didn't kick in yet. Like the other day I saw a picture of John Travolta back in the day and I was like, oh yeah, fuck.
He's gorgeous.
Welcome back, Cotter. Gorgeous.
Yeah, welcome back, Cotter. He's gorgeous. He's really hot in Carrie.
Oh, which, really?
You can smell that semen off of the screen. Like, you know what I mean? It's that, like, really, like, pungent semen.
Oh, my God.
Pungent semen. You know what I mean? It's that really pungent semen. Yeah, you know what he's giving? Like, he's actually giving, and this is kind of crazy, but what he's giving in this movie, now that I've Google imaged it, is I Eat Pussy Face.
Yeah. It's like a dirty, coming from the back of the balls. Like, it's like a prostate load.
It's a prostate load, which I'm sure he's familiar with. But like, I just zoomed in on one picture and I imagine like his eyes are so beautiful. This is like the eyes of a man that you're having sex with someone and their eyes are so beautiful and it almost takes you out. Like, I can't fuck this person with these eyes. What?
For me, it's the lips. It's always been about the lips for John Travolta. You know, it's like it's that perfect little shape. Is it pre-filler? No, filler's been around for a while. They just look perfectly plump and like how that's what Carrie is giving me. There's a sexual imprinting moment for me, which is a little bad.
Do it.
This was like Oprah circa 2004, but he was on Oprah and he must've been in his like what? Late 40s, early 50s at this point.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
But like was working out like crazy and he just like at one point, like Oprah like asks him to lift his shirt up and he like shows everybody his abs. This was like in a pre-tape segment, like not in front of the audience, but like,
oh my God, I literally have the thing right now. Wow. Yeah. He's given like daddy, like not perfect abs, but like a man's body,
a man's body.
And I was, which is more and more my thing every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so here, you Google image search.
No, I found it here. I'm actually here. Why don't I?
Yeah, no. I know. I found it too. It was that. That was the
it's
moment.
Really
that was a
working
huge
for me.
Moment
it,
for me.
Yeah, and I would fuck John Travolta still. Maybe that would save him.
If you fucked him?
Because that's what I'm signing up to do now, one breakup later. I'm ready to save people.
Through your sexual power.
But do you guys remember when he did that aerobic? There was like a movie he did with Jamie Lee Curtis where there's like an aerobic scene.
Oh, Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called Perfect. Yeah.
And the, you know what I'm saying? Like when he's thrusting the air, doing aerobics, that man. Like,
and sweating.
Yeah.
It's so great. I love all the looks in that movie. I think it's such a great movie. And it's such a perfect time capsule of like aerobics core.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of look and feeling. So
John
fun.
John Travolta, perfect. Just Googling the words John Travolta, perfect. Like a 13-year-old.
This does confirm for me, at least personally, how religion kills any attraction. Any zealoty person, whether it's Travolta, like Tom Cruise, and fucking like, let's just say like Chris Pratt, like it just kills it for me. I'm like, I cannot get hard for you if you like love your church this much.
Oh no.
It's weird. It's super weird.
This is not like religion is bad, but it's just like there is an element, there's a degree and magnitude to it that like really rubs me the wrong way sexually.
Yeah,
totally. I have such a disgust for like the Hillsong bro. You know, like anybody who's like has a lot of bracelets and beads and like a beanie and like a low V shirt.
Yeah,
and still.
It makes me so. You know, like how that look is so awful.
It's so weird, and it's so meticulously put together too.
Yeah,
that it's
yeah.
like so much bad taste colliding. It's like. Remember like The Hills years ago, Justin Bobby? It's like that like old reality star. It's like it was like tacky then, and yet it's still this thing that people are like not only into, but gathering to be around. But I think that Hillsong guy's like done, right? Or is that more of an aesthetic?
It's just the aesthetic. But
aesthetic.
That guy's done.
That guy's
the aesthetic of like a mega church aesthetic. It makes me so disgusted. You know, like a mega church where there's a Starbucks in the church?
Yeah.
It's so disgusting. Like... Anything like that is so horrible. I mean, it's not about the belief to me. It's about the aesthetic, which
it's
is
the
just
aesthetic.
Awful.
Totally.
Oh
if there's, a, if there's a Starbucks, that's a rule of culture. If there's a Starbucks in the church, it's
awful. It's
no,
disgusting.
It's awful. It's disgusting.
That's rule of culture number 78. If there's a Starbucks in the church,
it's awful.
It's disgusting.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Bowen Yang, one of my favorite possessions that I own, I'm not kidding, is my Helix mattress. I have the Helix Midnight. I've had it now for like a little bit over 4 years, and I think about my bed all the time when I'm not in it. It's very hard to get up out of in the morning because the Helix Midnight mattress is perfect for me.
Matt Rogers, I have to agree with my sister. I love my Helix Midnight mattress as well. And sometimes I have what the kids are saying, Helix mattress rot days. Not just bed rot.
Oh my
God. It's Helix mattress rot.
See me up in the bed like 50 Lem girls.
Yes. The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection, and even a mattress made just for kids.
So how will you know? How will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? Well, take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. I took the Helix Sleep Quiz and I was matched with a Midnight mattress all those years ago because I wanted something that felt medium feel and because I sleep on my side and back.
Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And it's your lucky day. Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/LasCulturistas and use the code HELIXPARTNER20, HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Okay, this is gonna sound broad, Margaret. You are my favorite person to say words.
Yes.
Just the way that you use words as weapons, to quote Ava Max. That's, I think, what I loved so much about your stand-up albums when I first found you when I was like, I don't know, I've told you this in like little gay ways, but like I was like 13 in my room and like I would listen to your stand-up albums on Rhapsody and like aww. I would put my headphones in and like I felt like you were telling me what my sense of humor was from like, aww. Even though I didn't know. But the way with words that you have, like the way that you can throw a word out there and it hits in the gut, I'll just never forget, like, of course, indelibly in all of your stand-up, but we were shooting Fire Island and we've said this on the pod, but I had just done that line about like, does anyone want to trade a Crest White Strip for a PrEP pill? And it started a conversation about PrEP. And I had mentioned like at one point, like, oh yeah, sometimes I skip a day. And Bowen was like, oh yeah, you can skip days. Like we were talking about it.
And then Margaret
just goes, I don't skip! And I was like,
I know, really,
right.
Don't. It's not worth it. Don't skip. Girl.
You're right, Margaret. We're sorry.
Don't play Russian roulette with that.
I know.
With that hole?
No, girl, no.
Don't play Russian roulette
with that hole. It is all about, Margaret, with you, and I'm sure other people have pointed this out, is like timing, obviously, but spacing. Like particularly the spacing of the words. It is like, fuck me in the ass, bar and grill.
Bar
like,
and grill.
It's like the pause and then the way even bar and grill is like, kind of hits the ear. It really aww. Is just like a big part of your art.
Aww.
And then Matt and I, at one point when we were first becoming friends, we were watching some Grey's Anatomy scene and like quoting it back and just like having like a ball, just like saying the words at the exact right times and syncing with it. And then Matt turns to me and goes, this is why you and I are friends. It's because we like appreciate the cadence and like the register and like all of that stuff where, you know, I'm getting a little annoying here, but like that is the thing that people can like build a sensibility around.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I actually pitched a show with you guys because I was doing this thing called the History of the Game Show. And I was like, you know, you need to actually talk to Bowen and Matt and let's do history of VH1 reality shows that became game shows, like I Love New York and everything after that, like Charm School, Rock of Love, like everything
I love money,
after, like I Love Money,
oh
the Flavor
God.
Of Love mostly, and mostly focusing on Tiffany Pollard, and have them just do full on recreation. And I'm like, you know, they know all of the monologues of Tiffany Pollard from like 2008 to 2012. So you really need to just do like a recreation show, or like have them just talk, because it was a history of game shows from like the 50s, but I was trying to steer them specifically from 2008 to 2012. Yeah. Just this period and only VH1.
Yes, yes. It'd be Tomas and Tori, and it would be all of us.
No, I remember what it was. It was like, I think we were really obsessed, particularly obsessed at that time with Monique saying from charm school, like, see, when you do clownery, the clown comes back to bite.
Yes. Yes.
And
that's my production company's name is Clownery.
Clownery. Yes.
We bonded clownery. On that. But then it was like breaking down that statement, like, That's not an old English adage. Like, that's not from like the Farmer's Almanac. The way that she says it, it's like something like, this is a lesson that's been handed down. You know, see? Like, it's a very, when you do clownery, but she has such gravity when she speaks.
Oh, the delivery is amazing. That, yeah.
Yeah, the delivery.
Oscar and winner.
Oscar winner for somebody of her caliber to do a show like Charm School, which also is incredible. I'm not trying to minimize Charm School and how many things the prequels to Charm School, how far we had to go to get to Charm School and all those contestants. Like
the CSU Charm School universe.
It was so hard to get there through all the other shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But really, like the gravity that Monique brings to it, and then she says, when you do clownery,
the clown comes back.
It sounds biblical.
For me, the image of a clown returning teeth first, teeth forward to bite you is the thing that kills me every
time. Because clowns don't bite. Except maybe Pennywise.
Like, that's something to start with at the outset. So we're dealing with the fact that, see, when you do clownery, which could mean anything, the clown comes back to bite. Which is like so basically what we're saying is when you engage in a suspicious activity or a shady activity, said other participants in shady activity will come back to attack you.
Margaret.
It's an insane way to say karma's a bitch, but so many other nouns are thrown into the sentence. It's like locational. It is really a ride.
But the clown never bit you in the first place, so why would it return to bite? Comes and back. They don't bite.
She's specifically like kind of referencing, I guess, Pennywise?
Pennywise.
Well, she's implying that when you do clownery, you like release a clown into the world.
See, when you do clownery, the clown gets out. And you better believe the clown will return when you least expect it to bite you with its teeth.
Oh my God. Yes.
And then what? God.
Well, you guys know, I think we've talked about this before, the reason those shows ended on VH1, like there was truly this like beautiful era. The reason the show ended, Matt, do you remember?
Okay, maybe it's different, but isolated, I think that someone took their own life, right? Afterwards?
It was that someone, a finalist on Megan Wants a Millionaire. Megan was sort of like the spinoff Bachelorette from Rock of Love. Uh-huh. She was sort of like the star from Rock of Love. She had her own show, and then on Megan Wants a Millionaire, one of the final suitors was charged for murder.
Oh, charged for murder. Yes.
So he murdered someone, and so then like they had to immediately cancel the show. No more shows from those producers ever again on VH1.
Well, they clearly didn't vet the contestants.
No, totally, totally.
They were all very
Why would they? Why would they? Exactly.
Yeah. That was part of what made it so great.
Totally.
I mean, that was part of the charm, I guess. You know, people weren't thinking about the mental wellness of anybody. It was just kind of this thing. But also, we had less of a bullying culture of social media than we do now.
Yeah.
So it made it somewhat a little bit more possible to do stuff like that. I think, I'm not sure, but I do miss that era of television.
Yeah. Where it felt like if they were getting picked on, it probably was happening on a few message boards or maybe like in their own lives, like by people in there, but who also watched the show. Now it's like in a culture of social media that I would imagine that those people would go even more nuts. Because even on like the really like quote unquote regulated reality shows of now, you know, like on even on like Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, you still have like Lisa Rinna taking to Instagram and acting so crazy. And you can tell it's just because the social media aspect is there as another arena to act crazy in. Mm-hmm. And it's hurting reality shows, I think, because so much of the stuff that ends up happening between these people on reality shows is happening online. So that the conflict and drama is not happening on the shows, which I think has made all of it worse.
Yeah, it's like a social media becomes another character that's playing sort of a silent partner of all of it, but that's very vocal as well. So
yeah, but I just remember my way into this whole universe was going to school. I mean, I did not grow up with cable. So it was me going into school. There was just a day when everyone decided to tell me who New York was. Mm-hmm. Where everyone was like, you need to watch this show, Flavor of Love. This girl from season one came back. It's season two now. This girl from season one came back and she is terrorizing these poor girls.
Yeah.
I was like, her name is New York? What do you mean? They're like, oh, Flava Flav gives these girls nicknames. Hers is New York. And she, you know, tries to beat up this girl who spits in her face. Like all of this. I'm like, oh my God. And I was hooked. I went on business trips to Gillette, Wyoming with my dad just so I could stay in the hotel while he was at work so that I could watch marathons on VH1.
And
I was
didn't have cable.
Totally up to speed because we didn't have cable at home. I fell hard for this.
It's so amazing. I mean, I think that I had similar experiences with like early Jersey Shore, like when they took Angelina's sanitary napkin that was used and put it in the corner. Do you remember that? Like, when it's just like weird stuff.
They
like
would
that.
Bully the shit out of that girl. She was annoying, but whoa. I know. Imagine
really being in the house
with all those people just like nailing you every day.
Poor
and then
thing.
She went back years later. I think she's like still on the show. Like whatever iteration Jersey Shore is in now, like I think she's still on it.
So funny. I don't know. Those ones that in particular with Tiffany Pollard really stand out to me as something like we've seen so much from her. Yeah. I love it.
Would we agree that probably the biggest reality stars of that time, I guess like from that sect was like Tiffany Pollard, and then from the mainstream sect was Omarosa.
Yeah.
Probably.
I like Tanisha.
Tanisha?
Tanisha from Bad Girls Club. There's a meme where she's got the pots and pans and like banging them.
Uh-huh.
Tanisha's pretty good.
You know who was crazy on her show and no one really talks about it, but was fully a chaos monster on Love and Hip Hop was Cardi B.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cardi B was tossing hands, like charging people, really getting into it on Love and Hip Hop. And then now she's like, you know, obviously one of the world's biggest stars. She's coming out in like Mugler left and right. But this is someone who was throwing her body with no concern for the safety of herself or others around a soundstage to get her point across that like she was to be reckoned with. And it was like really crazy. I don't know if either of you have like ever like watched a YouTube compilation of like Cardi B craziest moments. It's really not how you know how I spend my time.
Her at the reunions and like what was the reason? Like that.
Yeah, what was
like
the reason?
Yeah.
So great. I like Mariah Lynn. Love and Hip Hop.
That show creates stars, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
You need to go on the second season of Traitors.
what
you need to do that.
Margaret, you need to watch Traitors on Peacock as soon as you can. You'll love it. You'll love it. It's basically like, you know, Mafia meets The Mole. But it's all, there's this like Scottish castle aesthetic to it.
Alan Cumming is the host.
He's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's excellent. It's truly excellent.
The way they did the first season was there was like 10 like people that we knew in the culture, like Ryan Lochte was there, like Brandi Glanville, like Suri Fields from Survivor. And then there was 10 like regular people and they all like go sit around a large table and Alan Cumming taps three of them on the shoulder and they are the traitors. And basically the whole thing is like the whole everyone in the house has to figure out who the traitors are. And every night the traitors decide to kill someone off. So like until it whittles down to like however many people are there and either the traitors win or the real people win. It's literally Mafia, but it's like a literalized, like physicalized version of it on Peacock. It was really good.
Yeah, that sounds great. All right.
Are you going on tour this summer or before?
Yeah, I'm on tour. I'm starting actually in 2 weeks in Vancouver, and then I'm just going to go everywhere. So I'm around.
Perfect.
All over the place.
How long is your tour this time?
I think it'll go probably until at least November or something like that.
Gonna be out there.
Yeah. So, but back and forth. I'm coming back and forth. But yeah, I'm thrilled. Like, you know, it's like finally able to really do bigger shows. And, you know, since the pandemic has been so weird with comedy, but now it feels like we can actually like go to shows and do shows. Yeah. So this is going to be good.
Yeah. I was just out there all December and it felt normal again.
Oh. Yeah.
And that was December too. So like by the end of the month, like when I think a little bit more people were being a little bit more conservative about going out, like as January approached, it was feeling like it did.
Yeah. It's good.
For the first time.
Yeah.
The fact that it took this long, I mean, because for you, you were shooting the movie with us like that first summer where things were slowly starting to open up again.
Yeah.
But you were working on the movie the whole time. And then I imagine you were like probably working on material for the show itself.
Yeah. And then also just like doing other things like in between. But I definitely had been touring a lot less over because I didn't want to book shows and have them canceled. Yeah, kind of like with the Omicron. Right. Remember, we were like canceling again. So it's been hard. But now it seems like, okay, it's great to finally be able to embrace it fully and go out there.
Well, you'll see us there for sure.
Yes. You've got to come. It's going to be fun.
100%.
Yes. I love seeing your billboard. It was right across from Kylie Jenner's billboard on Santa Monica.
I made it.
So exciting.
It was exciting. It was great to have the show out and then to be able to tour it like in real time. And one of my favorite moments was I think I was in Portland and they had my poster up next to your poster.
Yay!
And I was like,
I love it.
And then we both were up there. It said Margaret Cho, Matt Rogers. And I was like, oh man, that like not to be like a total little faggot, but if I could go back to myself at 13 and be like that was gonna happen, I would have absolutely died. So that was really
so
cool.
Beautiful. Yeah. Thank you. So cool.
Oh well. Okay, so
Lucia's fussing. So let's get going.
Fussing, so it might be time for look how cute she is. So it's cute. Unbelievable.
Little baby.
Has she been
little
good?
Baby.
Talk
She's
about
been
her
really
life.
Good. She's been really good. She got a new bag. So she's been like fierce in her new bag, which is a little bit bigger and has it's roomy enough for, for her to put her leash inside and everything. And so she's really happy. And yeah, we're probably going to go a walk later. She's doing great.
How long does she walk?
We do two walks a day, probably about 45 minutes or to an hour each.
Okay, that's
so it's also
long.
My workout.
Oh, yeah.
It's my workout, too. So we wouldn't walk fast. I let her lead.
Yeah.
Because I do dog-led walks because it's not my walk, it's her walk. So I let her sniff around, and so it can get slow. But she's a very good companion to do that with.
Oh, my God. She's the best.
The best.
She really was like an energy boost. I remember, especially when we were in that hotel for the last 2 weeks and Lucia would just sort of run the house.
Yeah.
Or just a base camp, you know, at the trailers. Just anyway, we would all love her.
It's so cute. And then you guys were doing so many really good Nicki Minaj recreations.
You know what I wanted to tell you? When you went on Kelly Clarkson, and you said that there's a person named Matt Rogers that exists that I did the movie with and he's obsessed with you. I ended up going on her show.
Amazing. Yes,
I did go on the show, so I did get to meet her. But I remember watching that. I didn't know that you had said that. So I was watching it, I think, on Instagram. You literally just popped up and it was you saying it. And I literally was like, I can't believe this is happening. I'm so like, thank you for even saying that.
I shed a tear because I was like, oh my God, it's one of Matt's heroes telling another one of Matt's heroes.
It was amazing. About him. It was really, really great.
I'm so glad.
And it was she's so nice. She really is. Like, I mean, I think we've all met her at this point. Like, she really is like exactly as advertised, but Kirst is like a fucking sailor behind the scenes.
Did she give you a vinyl? Did she give you a record?
Yes, yes. And lots of potato chips.
A lot of potato chips. Do you remember what she gave you?
She gave me Whitney Houston.
Oh, that's good. Was it Bodyguard or older?
No,
album?
I think it was like probably Greatest Hits.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent.
I got Jolene, Dolly Parton.
Oh, that's great.
Loved.
I got Bruce Springsteen, Greatest Hits, which I don't think she like tailored to me necessarily. I love Bruce Springsteen, though.
I mean, no disrespect to the boss.
Exactly.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, bubbly burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
You know, Matt, every day I am looking for new ways to reach my money goals.
I know you are, Bowen, and I also know that that leaves room for little rewards and treats along the way.
Like, for instance, every day that I save, I leave room at the end of the week for a special delivery order.
With a Chime checking account, you get features like fee-free overdraft up to $200 with SpotMe, or getting paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit.
Sometimes you have an emergency and overdrafts happen. With Chime, you and your friends can spot each other by using boosts to increase your overdraft limits.
Join millions of Chime members who are working on financial progress.
Get spotted on debit card purchases and cash withdrawals.
No monthly fees or maintenance fees.
And over 60,000 fee-free ATMs.
To date, Chime has spotted members over 20 billion.
Take control of your finances and say goodbye to monthly fees.
Open your account in minutes at chime.com/culturistas. That's chime.com/culturistas. Chime. Feels like progress.
Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Boosts are available to eligible Chime members enrolled in SpotMe and are subject to monthly limits. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
Okay, so we are at that point in the episode where it is I Don't Think So Honey time. But I forgot. What is I Don't Think So Honey?
I Don't Think So Honey is a 1 minute segment in which we rail against something in the culture using the words I Don't Think So Honey. Does that jog your memory?
Yeah, now I remember. And I actually remember that I have something for it.
Okay, great. This is Matt Rogers' I Don't Think So Honey, and his time starts now.
I Don't Think So Honey. Say it with me, Robin Dixon.
Ooh.
Yes, you have flopped yet again on the show, The Real Housewives of Potomac, by withholding the fact that you, your marriage to Juan Dixon, which congrats to you, you finally got the ring on it, but you have kept from everyone watching the show that Juan was in the DMs with some girl and then he got her hotel room when she came to Baltimore. Now, look,
30 seconds.
You can lie in your own face, but don't lie to our face. This is insane. And the fact that you'd be on Wendy about her marriage, like participating in any way about Karen's marriage, and you're going to withhold crucial information about your own marriage and then reveal it behind a paywall? Mama, Bravo pays your checks. If you're going to sign up there and be one of the Real Housewives of Potomac, say your real life, and then you're demanding and getting on the rest of these women, what about you, Robin Dixon? I don't think so, honey.
And that's 1 minute.
Could you believe?
I couldn't believe. Margaret, this is one of the Real Housewives of Potomac.
Mm-hmm.
We've disliked her for a long time, and this is sort of karmically... The clown came back to bite, let's just say.
The clown did come back to bite.
The clown came back to bite because she was doing clownery. She was bringing rumors from off the show about other people's husbands, you know, kind of conspiring with another one, always sort of getting into it. Because a thing on this particular reality show is they always attack each other's husbands and relationships. I'm not sure what that is, but that's their kind of method of madness. And then it comes out that her husband, who's cheated on her in the past, is now sort of in the DMs with someone else. And she wasn't honest about it. And Bravo, she was on Andy Cohen, Watch What Happens Live the other night. And Andy Cohen was like, so you're on a reality show about your life. And then behind a paywall on your podcast, you reveal this part of it while also getting up in everyone else's business. Do you think there's a double standard? And they finally held her feet to the fire and it felt good to watch.
So Margaret, Matt has this great schema around the house where every city, every franchise is about a specific theme. So for New York, it's alcoholism. For Beverly Hills, it's the cracks in the china. For Salt Lake City, it's religion. And I think for Potomac, it's husbands.
Yeah.
It's like infidelity, maybe. And for Miami, it's, are you ready for this, Matt? Divorce.
Yeah.
It's about how all of these women deal with divorce. Because this whole Lisa thing is like really crystallizing all of the things about Alexia. Like all these women have experience with divorce and they're coming in to support her because they're like, we've been through this, which I think is what, which is like heartwarming and touching. But I think ultimately the show is about divorce as a process, as opposed to Potomac, which is about infidelity. Or about husbands, you know?
Yeah, it's like, it's just a very, I guess, insecure group of, it's like this cast of women, half of them are very insecure about their romantic lives and the fact that like they can't seem to keep their shit together. But the focus is always on the other happily married group's husbands. Yes. Because you kind of get the sense that it's just like, it's this area of their life that they can't sit with. So they're constantly picking and spreading these like really like ridiculous, like baseless rumors about the happily married people. Meanwhile, it just comes out more and more like how conspiratorial and how like, you know, duplicitous they are, and like what's going on in their own lives is like not as happy as what's going on the other side.
And I never thought I'd say this, but if Robin does get fired, I do want Giselle to stick around for one more season just so I can watch her squirm and be like without one huge lackey or ally.
I mean, I don't think that Robin survives proof that she was not showing her life on the show. Like, I just don't think, like, that's what you signed up for. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Anyways. Riveting stuff. I'm surprised you don't get into Housewives, Margaret.
I know. It's one of those things where it's just somehow it just didn't open up to me, like for whatever reason. And now I feel like it's so far gone that I can't catch up because there's so many different kind of universes of it. But I have to do the Brittany Frankel podcast and I have to go over an episode with her. So maybe that'll help me get more.
You should call her
Brittany
Frankel to her face. You should call Bethany Frankel Brittany Frankel.
Oh,
I thought it was Brittany
Frankel. I don't even know who she is.
I think you're
right. It's actually very humbling. She deserves.
Powerful.
She, Margaret, we're not even kidding. Only if you're comfortable with it. Truly disarm her by calling her Brittany Frankel.
Yeah.
Brittany.
Brittany, it's so great to be here. Oh my God.
She would
erupt. I love it. But yeah, Robin Dixon continues to do clownery and the clowns come back to bite. So Bowen Yang, do you have an I don't think so, honey?
I do. It's pretty specific. Yeah.
Okay. And we love specificity.
Okay.
And this is Bowen Yang's I don't think so, honey. His time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. Misusing Geneva conventions, like throwing it into conversation like, oh, what that person did violated the Geneva conventions because they didn't like tip their waiter or something. No, you don't. People misuse Geneva conventions either as like the thing that's being talked about, or they think, oh, the Geneva convention, which isn't really a thing. It's usually in reference to the agreement meeting in 1949 after World War II. But people misuse Geneva conventions all the time in like casual, gossipy, bitchy ways. It's about war prisoners. It's about civilian rights during times of war. It is not about you know, being cut in line. It is not about like your friend being 45 minutes late to a thing. It is, please stop misusing the Geneva Conventions and casually using it in conversation when you have no idea what it is and what it implies. Google's free. Look it up.
And that's a minute. I don't know what it is.
I just told you what it is.
You did? But I know there's more to know. And so I know that I'm not yet safe
but that's
to
all
use
you
it
need
in
to
casual
know.
Conversation.
You don't need to know everything. You just need to know the basics. And you will not make this mistake that I see people making all the time. Like in like comedy. And like, it's like a reference that like gets the laugh, I guess. But I'm always like, but no, like these people are laughing, not knowing what the Geneva conventions are.
I think it's the word Geneva.
Can it be literally anything else? Can it be like, It'd be like, oh, that violated my Miranda rights. No, it didn't.
That violated New York Magazine rules of etiquette.
That's good. That's something. It's closer to the idea that's being expressed. Anyway.
By the way, that rules of etiquette was
wild.
I don't know if you've jumped in there. But
I have. I read all of them.
I like them.
You like them?
Yeah.
I like most of them. There are some where I'm like, I don't know about that.
What? Always wink? Always wink?
That was a troll.
That was a troll.
That was just a cheeky thing to put in there, but I think it is viable. Like, you can ghost after a first date.
Trust me. I am all about a ghost after the first date. After a second date, I do think it's weird. Like, we could literally go through them, but there were some of them that were like, if you are at dinner with a famous person, don't sit them on the end.
I know.
And I'm like, what? Who's writing this?
Who's writing this? Who do you think is reading this? And also, like, Amy Sedaris had a great block, but then there was some other
hers
person. I don't know who the fuck this person was, but hers were like, don't have your assistant send your birthday invites. I'm like, who are you talking to?
Yeah, also the one that was like, never ask about work. Huh?
I don't know.
Is it weird to be like, so how's work? Is that weird? No.
No.
It's like one of the things you talk about.
But I think it's okay to ask about rent. I like that because I want to ask people about money all the time.
Yeah,
so that's
me too.
Yeah. I say,
that's one thing I'm into burning down.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
This is Margaret Cho's I Don't Think So, Honey. Margaret.
Yeah.
And her time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. Stop commenting on Madonna's appearance. You know,
yes.
She looks great. And it doesn't matter what surgery she decided to get or not get. It is none of our business.
Yep.
You know, women are able to age in any way they want to. She has done so much for the planet and especially for the gay community.
Yeah.
We would not have gay rights as we do without Madonna. Madonna has reared us, raised us as a community. She has formed our art, music, fashion, everything. She's formed so much of our world and we have to have respect for her. If part of her art now is changing her appearance to please herself, that's her business. I think she looks great. I think she's always looked great. And I want,
5 seconds.
You know, don't talk about that. It looks bad. I love Madonna and I Don't Think So, Honey.
Yes.
That's 1 minute. Agreed.
I agree.
You.
Comments on her appearance are, I get people's comments on her behavior because sometimes it is odd.
That's fine. Yeah.
But, I mean, it is what it is. And she literally, she also like, she's always wanted you to comment on her behavior.
Yes.
She is provocative. That's part of her thing. It has crossed over now. And I think maybe even a little bit by her design to be like, another talking point is this, but it does get ugly because our society does not is not capable of talking about this with care.
Well, the other thing about her is that she invented past tense and also is currently inventing the way in which a female pop star exists in the world, how her career progresses. Like the stages of her career are like beat for beat being projected onto like every other girl doing it now. I think it is fair to say that like Gaga like pulled a lot from Madonna. It is fair to say that every single pop girl is like working from the blueprint that Madonna has set.
All of them.
She is still drawing out the blueprint though. Like when these girls are in their 60s, like this is what they'll be doing. It will resemble something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's fine that she like is looking the way she looks or is talking the way she talks for the most part because it's like this has not been done before.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Yeah. And I love just that she's able to live her own 60. Like this is like 60 for her. And that to me is really exciting.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have to give up anything when we age. We can actually just enhance and explore and be a part of this wonderful, like she's in a place where she can spend money on these things that I think give her the appearance that she wants. And I think she looks great.
Have you met her?
I haven't, which is weird.
Yeah, that is
weird. I would assume.
I've never had the honor. So, but yeah, for whatever reason, it never worked out.
She hasn't had the honor either.
Well, she threw a boom boom room party. She does throw like a pride party every year. So we just got to get those streams to cross.
Yes.
You should come to New York for Pride this year.
I would love to. That would be fun.
And then we can all hang out.
There was all those rumors about us getting a pride float last year for Fire Island.
There was.
Maybe for the sequel.
Yeah, for
we
the
should
sequel.
Make a sequel, though. I mean, I really think that we need to, right?
What's your idea? What's your pitch? Do you have it? What's cooking in your brain? Because we know these ideas are percolating. You're pitching in meetings, us doing a reality show, game show. Like, what's going on? What's Fire
I know
Island
the real and also the Yangover and Roger that in my podcast, my fake podcast
yes,
network,
yes, yes,
the Fire
yes.
Island Podcast Network. Well, yeah, I think it's where Howie and Charlie get married.
Yes.
And we all go to the wedding, but it's in Provincetown. That seems like the right thing.
Yeah, that's been what's percolating, I feel.
Yeah.
And
when you watched the movie back, what did you feel? We haven't seen you since.
Like, I know.
What was it like watching it?
It was so exciting. It was so yeah. exciting. It's beautiful. I mean, it's just beautiful. I saw it a few times and I showed it to friends and I just, it's just such a beautiful film. Like, it's shot in such a sweeping, beautiful camera. Everybody looks so great. You know, I just also remember all the moments in between the scenes as well. Yeah. Like, you yeah. know, from off camera. But just watching it was another level of like excitement and fun and, you know, just appreciation for all of your work and Andrew's vision.
Mm. Well, you're such a standout in it. I mean, your scene with Joel.
So fun.
All your scenes are excellent. Fantastic, Margaret.
You, like, we were watching it. We got to see it on the, like, big screen a bunch because of the premieres we were doing. You always got such a huge response. And it's also, like, what you're saying is also, like, a really special thing about it. Like, I do remember, like, you know, that scene where you're telling us that you're going to lose the house. Like, I just remember that day. Like, us yeah. going, leaving the table and then resetting and then leaving and resetting and trying different things. And yeah, it's like it was such a special experience because there was also like bonding going on between us in this thing that ended up being really good that I think we mm-hmm. all thought was really good. And then to watch it, it's like, yeah, your shoulders drop a little bit and you breathe easier because you're like, okay, this thing we thought was special actually really ended up being special.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we absolutely adore this individual.
Oh, I love you.
Honestly, like, we love you so much. And so the tour starts when in Vancouver?
It starts February 18th in Vancouver and goes all over for the next year.
And are tickets on sale?
Yes, at margaretcho.com and everywhere.
Margaretcho.com and everywhere else. Oh my God, Bo.
The touring girls this summer are Taylor Swift, Madonna, Beyonce, Margaret Cho.
Yes.
Yay! And Lucia.
And you better catch up.
The four horse whores of the apocalypse.
Horse hags.
Horse hags. The nags.
Oh, man. And Lucia, it was great to have you. It's so good to see you, Lucia.
Lucia. We end every episode with a song.
With a song, Bo. What's the song?
I got chills.
They're multiplying. And the control. You're supplying. It's electrifying.
I remember I did a dance routine to that one time, and my parents and their friends all looked at me after because they were the judges, and they said it was a lot. Okay, it was.
We'll leave it at that.
Bye.
Bye.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
When the music of Celine Dion makes sweet Canadian love with the Oscar-winning film Titanic, you get Titanic, a campy, unhinged, chaotic night out.
Find out what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night from Celine Dion's totally real and historically accurate perspective.
Some say Titanic is the best gay nightclub in the city, and those people are me.
And me. So set sail with this kooky crazy off-Broadway hit and get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.
Get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second
annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.